Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You need to watch Thomas Mack. He's a young star.
From the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Palahniuk, Thomas Mack here with you in for John and Hugh on this Labor Day Monday, the second day of September 2019. If you have to labor today, we hope you're doing so with a smile on your face, and we're hoping to put that on your face as we come throughout the day. Telephone number, chance for you to get in, 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow me at Willie P. Style on Twitter. Follow Thomas at Real Thomas Mott and the station at 929 The Game. We're going to do a little bit of NFL in this hour. We were heavy college football last hour, so we'll get you into at least some buy or sell later on and also give you some encouraging signs and concerns for the ATL as they open up with the Minnesota Vikings this week. But we'll go all-encompassing with the Shields in a segment we like to call NFL Quick Hits. 53-man roster is set for the Atlanta Falcons as we have all 53 on the roster, including kicker Matt Bryant, who was brought back after the Giorgio Tavecchio experience went less than expected during the preseason. I think many Falcon fans are at least happy to see Bryant back in the fold, but also still nervous about how it came to play. The seven on the practice squad of the 10 slots have been filled. Danny Etling, Christian Blank, Sean Harlow, Austin Zimmer, Jacob Tuioti-Marner, and as well as Jamal Carter and Chris Cooper. The one that I really like is Austin Larkin being back. I think he had a fantastic preseason. I don't know if I'm going to sit here and say he earned a spot on the 53-man roster because of how loaded that defensive line is now, but I think he earned his spot at least somewhere on this team, and I like that he's there. Brandon Powell has not yet been confirmed by the team, but he could be in the fold as well as number 8 on that list.
It's funny to actually be talking about the Atlanta Falcons defensive line as being loaded, and I have to agree with you to an extent, but really it's more of loaded at the defensive tackle spot right now because, of course, Grady Jarrett, Jack Crawford, and even Sanat are sitting right there in front of him. But to see Austin Larkin make the practice squad to me is a no-brainer. Other than that, though, all the rest of the cuts all basically made sense. There was no big shocker like there was for some other NFL squads.
Yeah, it's odd because I think so many people looked at this and thinking maybe there were going to be some hard decisions made. But I honestly think that the brain trust looked at it and said, okay, you know what? It's fine. And even like the one that I was thinking was probably a hard thing was the Green-Zacchaeus route. And I think Zacchaeus at least endeared himself a little bit more. Both of them had muffs in the last game. It does not help.
Doesn't help.
I find this to be a weird thing, and I never thought that I'd be concerned because, you know, you and I have both been inside that stadium.
Yes.
I'd never thought that it would be a concern when it came to the ceiling of that stadium when it comes to muffing punts or muffing kicks. It was just an oddity as part of that preseason.
Marcus Green did end up on the Philadelphia Eagles practice squad, so he was not long on the waiver wires. Of course, teams right now cut down to 53 men on Saturday. The deadline was 3 p.m. here on the East Coast. And then, of course, I think Sunday is the practice squad deadline, or I guess it was Sunday was the practice squad deadline yesterday. So a lot of moves happening right now to get your rosters and practice squad set. Quickly, before we move on here on the NFL Quick Hits, the Matt Bryant signing comes at a good time. I've talked on my show, Ready or Mott, many times that the Falcons tried to go cheaper. They tried to go younger. It didn't work out. But at the same time, though, let's say Matt Bryant goes 0-for-3 against Minnesota. No one can complain. No, because if Giorgio Tavecchio would have gone 0-for-3, we're talking pitchforks and torches. But if Matt Bryant goes 0-for-3, it should be crickets because we clamored for it, and here's your 44-year-old kicker. I hope he's good.
I'm surprised.
He should be. But if he's bad, we can say nothing about it.
I'm surprised they didn't take a flyer on Blair Walsh.
Yeah, well, I mean, after Blair Walsh's meltdown, what was it, a couple years back in 2016 for the Vikings, it was made a lot of sense. Well, okay, moving on here on the NFL Quick Hits. Nationally, though, if college football did not exist on Saturday, two massive trades in the NFL would have led off your Monday morning as the Seahawks pulled off the first stunner as they acquired Pro Bowl defensive end Jadeveon Clowney from Houston in exchange for a 2020 third-round pick, the linebacker Barkevious Mingo and Jacob Mitten all going to Houston. Let me ask you this, Will. Are you a fan of what Houston did in getting rid of Jadeveon Clowney?
I would have thought that there would have been a way for them to somewhat mend this, because the one part about this that you have to at least think about is the fact that they had no leverage in the end. And I think that's the part of it that became very, very evident, is that because of the fact that they can't extend him, because of the fact that they don't necessarily have any real bargaining power with teams, it looks like a dump. And because of that, they almost look like they got fleeced as a result of it. And you think about what Seattle has done, shedding a lot of the dead money on their cap. They get Clowney in the fold, and they get all the other pieces that are in the fold there. I think that they're set up right now to be a dominant force.
The Seahawks offense is going to be a question mark because there's basically no healthy wide receiver besides Tyler Lockett. Russell Wilson's going to have to lead them to victory there. But the defense, especially the defensive line right now on Seattle, Frank Clark when he's back and healthy, Ziggy Ansah is going to be healthy, and then you add Jadeveon Clowney with arguably the best middle linebacker in the NFL in Bobby Wagner. That defense is going to be scary. If you have to go to CenturyLink Field, good luck on a rainy day in Seattle. I don't know how you're going to move the football over there.
The running back quandaries between Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon continue as the world turns for Zeke. Latest update from our good friend Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports says the two sides communicated on Sunday, where it looked like there was some optimism going into Sunday. The last exchange did not go well. So after Saturday's momentum, the Cowboys expected more compromise to get a deal done Sunday. It didn't happen.
Whoa.
It's on to Monday.
I didn't know that. I thought that it went well. I read that it did go well. I did not see the most recent update that it went poorly. Oh,
trust
boy.
Trust me. It's so hot and cold right now with them. It's like, you know, it almost kind of feels like a papal conclave. You're waiting for the white smoke to come out, where all we've seen is black smoke. And because of that, it just seems to me like, from Zeke's perspective, I'm wondering what exactly the kind of leverage he has.
Which running back, let me ask you this, if you had to pick who we will see on the field first in the NFL, Melvin Gordon, who apparently the Chargers have said, we're not going to talk to you until after the season, so he is looking for a trade partner right now, and then Zeke, as you just mentioned, they're far away in the contract, which running back will we see first in the NFL?
I think Zeke, because of the fact that it does seem like they want to have a deal with him and he wants to be on the field. Every report has basically put out that he wants to be on the field. But again, it's just so difficult. Like, I'm wondering, the part of this that doesn't make a lot of sense, and a lot of this can get into to almost the Julio conversation as well, is that do these players know what they're doing to their teams by hamstringing them into these deals? I understand that everybody's selfish and they understand that they want all these deals, but by putting forth these demands, you're capping your future potential. And that's not a good thing. Like, you're capping the ability to sign higher quality offensive linemen. You're capping the ability to make Dak happy. You're capping the ability to get receivers for Dak. You are not so singularly important that you deserve this contract, in my opinion, yet.
The only reason we ever talk about, you know, people needing to take less money to actually win is because Tom Brady has done it year in and year out. I think
And it's worked.
And it's worked. And that's the problem, is he has 6 Super Bowl rings and everyone else goes, well, I have $130 million in the bank and nothing. So it's always something that we go back and forth on right there. The other big trade that happened in the NFL just Saturday was that the Miami Dolphins have been very busy. They sent former first-round draft pick at left tackle Laremy Tunsil and disgruntled wide receiver Kenny Stills to Houston for, wait for it, a 2020 first-rounder, a 2021 first-rounder, and a 2021 second-rounder. Do you like the move to get Deshaun Watson a weapon and a left tackle?
I do, but I also can't look at it without looking at the entire totality of the weekend for them. This almost feels like a massive overcorrection in the other direction for Houston, because head coach slash GM Bill O'Brien.
Oh, boy.
We know how hard it is to balance that particular dichotomy. And because of that, I almost feel like they needed to get some sort of deal done to at least look like they were doing something positive for the team. Tunsil, somebody who fell out of favor quickly in Miami. Stills gives you a weapon, along with Fuller and D-Hop and all those things. I understand why they made the deal, but I also can't help but think that they massively erred by taking away a lot of draft capital from their future.
Bill O'Brien is slowly becoming the, I just blanked on the...
Laughingstock?
Well, that, but who is the bank? The Marvin Lewis of the Houston Texans, because he's underachieved. He gets you to the playoffs, but does not win in the playoffs. And really, he's an offensive-minded guy who has let Deshaun Watson get beat up his first couple years there in Houston. The flip side of this is that Miami now has, in 2020, one first, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh, and then two firsts in the 2021 draft as well. They have a ton of draft capital potentially to move up and get Tua.
And people are wondering whether or not they're tanking for that reason. Although I'm not the biggest fan of Tua's NFL potential.
I'm not either, actually.
Is that sacrilegious to say?
I've said that I think Fromm will potentially, if he has a good season, go higher than Tua in the draft because he's more of an NFL quarterback. But now I'm leaning more towards Herbert being potentially the number one guy off the board because of his size.
It's weird because, like, he puts up numbers, this Tua, but I find those numbers to be incredibly hollow. And I also wonder if the weapons he has at Alabama will be as good as the weapons he has on his first NFL team. And if he goes to Miami, that increasingly would not be so. Also, speaking of quarterbacks, if you want a quarterback, go to Oakland because they're stockpiled full of them. They have not one, not two, not three, but four quarterbacks. Jeez. How does the old saying go? If you have four quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. After keeping inexplicably three quarterbacks on their active roster, Derek Carr, Nathan Peterman, Glennon, they decided to add DeShone Kizer after he was cut.
What's so funny, too, is if you've been watching Hard Knocks, like I know you and I have both been doing, they've been, you know, focusing in on this quarterback battle between Nathan Peterman and Mike Glennon. It looked like Mike Glennon was going to be the guy who would stay and Peterman would get cut. The big shock out of Raiders
camp, though. You can't trust Peterman with his regular
season
numbers.
Well, I know, but it looked like even then that Gruden was leaning towards Mike Glennon based on what we saw in Hard Knocks. The big surprise cut from Oakland, though, was the star rookie undrafted free agent Keelan Doss, who, of course, was highlighted big time out of Oakland, and they actually let him go. They cut him after Gruden repeatedly said in Hard Knocks they loved him.
This is a term that is used more in reality television, more specifically The Bachelor. He fell victim to the bad edit. He became somebody who was very, very hardly pushed by the NFL Films guys and the Raiders guys. They love this story, but he does not get a rose from the Raiders. And as a result, they now have four quarterbacks. I don't know what you expect to do with four quarterbacks.
I guess it's a lot of extra film work to help out Derek Carr,
like,
maybe. I have no idea.
Like, there are teams that have to justify putting a third on there. I don't understand why you have four. Like, is DeShone Kizer going to be a wide receiver or what? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Final bit of news here on the NFL Quick Hits. LeSean McCoy, the former star running back in Philadelphia, who was then traded by Chip Kelly to Buffalo, has been released by the Buffalo Bills not long on the waiver wire as his old head coach Andy Reid picked him up there in Kansas City. Let me just say this. You're drafting your fantasy football leagues this year. Use like a 17th overall pick or round pick late on LeSean McCoy because flex guy when you need him. He's going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield with Patrick Mahomes.
And this just over, we have another addition to the particular Atlanta Falcons practice squad. Former Bronco linebacker and safety Jamal Carter, again, part of that practice squad number. They have room for one more. Seven announced reports on not only Jamal Carter, but also Brandon Powell pushes it to nine. So they have one more spot left on the practice squad after the seven that were previously announced, and a couple more, of course, that possibly could still come here with Powell as well as Carter, and one more still to come from the Atlanta perspective.
All right, coming up here in about 6 minutes, let's take a quick break. When we come back, listen, we are less than a week away from week one in the National Football League, as, of course, our Atlanta Falcons will be on the road to take on Minnesota. Let's look back at the entire preseason, the encouraging signs, and, you know, potentially the concerns we have heading into week one against the Vikings. Don't touch that dial. It's Thomas Mott and Will Pelagic filling in on the morning show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are live inside the Kia Studios right now on the midday show, the morning show right now. I guess the sun is risen.
You got thrown by the sun, didn't you?
The sun is here. I'm normally not here when the sun is out. My show, Ready or Mott, is an evening show. So it was weird starting in the evening, or I guess the nighttime, and then it has risen right now on a beautiful Monday here, your Labor Day Monday. What's everyone up to today? You guys driving? You guys going somewhere? You coming in from Florida with the hurricane? What's going on?
A little grilling out, possibly.
What are you going to do today?
Well, I have to leave here and go do another show.
Oh, that's right. I, myself, am going hiking. I'm going north into the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm going to hike to some waterfall that has some weird name I don't know about.
You love doing that hiking stuff.
You know, I just want to get out, right? Outdoorsy stuff. I don't know the name of the waterfall.
You know what my idea of the great outdoors is?
What?
Sitting on a patio having a nice cold beer.
That's fair.
That's my idea of the great outdoors.
I'm not going to hike for too long. I just want to hike up this waterfall with a friend, but it should be a lot of fun.
You bringing some White Claws with you?
I am not bringing any White Claws with me as I go hiking. I would never do that. No, water or beer, but water mainly. Okay,
water or
I've never actually had a White Claw, so
you know, that surprises me about you.
Wait, that, does it really?
It does.
Do I look like a guy who would drink White Claw?
You do look like a guy who would drink a lot of White Claws.
I need a total facial reconstruction right now if that's the case. That is a bad look.
There are no laws when you're drinking Claws.
That's what they say. 404-741-0929. Are you drinking White Claw today? That's the number to get in on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line as well, as we just wrapped up an NFL Quick Hits. Thomas Mott, Will Pelagic filling in for John and Hugh here on a Monday. Also, go ahead and follow the station at 929 The Game on Twitter. All right, Will.
Yes.
We are literally 6 days away and some change in terms of hours from the Atlanta Falcons finally taking the field when they head up to Minnesota. And what is a very difficult week one matchup against the Minnesota Vikings? We'll preview that later on the show. But with 5 preseason games to pull from, to look at, how about your biggest concerns and also your most promising headlines going into week one? What have you liked from the Falcons so far, and what has you going, oh boy, let's clean that up before week one?
Well, I mentioned this more at the start when we were talking about the cuts and the practice squad. It does seem like they had the best 53 make the team. I think that's the part of it that stands out, is that there really isn't anybody who didn't make the team or the practice squad now that we're getting those names filed in. There really isn't anybody on that you didn't want on that. And I think that part of it is an encouraging sign. Now, the flip side of that is, what does that squad now do? And I think you wonder about the remade defense. You wonder about the remade offensive line, at least the right side of it. You wonder about Caleb McGarry's ability to play right tackle and kind of who is going to be that right tackle. You also wonder about left guard. You know, will it be Carpenter? Will it be Brown? Brown did not have the best preseason in my estimation. And you also wonder about the running back position behind Devonta Freeman, because so much of last year's woes were riddled with the fact that they couldn't find a way to consistently run the football and Matt Ryan getting killed. So because of that, I wonder if a lot of this preseason hype behind guys like Ito Smith and Brian Hill and players of that nature, Barner as well, and even Allison to a lesser extent, he might just be somebody who ends up on the cut list every week. But you know, I'm wondering too, does that particularly translate to the Falcons in 2019? Because in 18, you had that problem and you never had it solved.
What people seem to not realize is that Devonta Freeman playing 16 games is not a guarantee. That's not a knock on him as a player. He's a great player. But everyone is now assuming that because Devonta Freeman is back and healthy, he's going to be out there for all 16. What they don't realize, what no one wants to talk about, is that Devonta Freeman has been a 250 carry a year guy like once in his entire career. He's always had Tevin Coleman behind him to share the workload with, and that's where he's really thrived, is maybe being able to come in and out of the football game because Tevin Coleman was a great second punch. The running game is going to be a massive question mark, and obviously whoever plays right tackle week one, I don't think we'll know until Saturday night, Sunday morning, whenever we finally figure out if McGarry will start or if it's Gono potentially going at right tackle. But if you look at the positives going into week one, the big positive for me has got to be Dirk Koetter's offense. I think Dirk Koetter has built a scheme that is going to be extremely beneficial for Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan, being under center, I formation, running the ball, and then bootlegging out of that to look for a guy like Austin Hooper is going to be huge for him, not just with protecting him, because we expect the offensive line to not be great. I mean, we're expecting average offensive line play, regardless of how many times Matt Ryan gets hit. If you can establish a running game, if Devontae Freeman stays healthy, and then bootleg off of that, I think it's going to give Matt Ryan a lot more opportunities to have bigger games than what he's had in the past.
My encouraging sign from the preseason on the defensive side is that we saw a different periphery-type player have a standout game. Like, it was always somebody different. That's what I liked. Like, for example, the Hall of Fame game, John Kaminsky made his presence known. Austin Larkin made his presence known in the week one, if you will, preseason game, the first real week of preseason games. Jermaine Grace, I think, made some incredible strides. He's a guy who pushed basically Bruce Carter onto the free agent wire because of the fact that his play just basically dwarfed the veteran Carter. And even guys like Cooper who stood out as well. I think that there were enough standouts that were variable standouts throughout the preseason that it wasn't always just the same guy. So I think because of that, you put some trust in some guys on that defensive unit to be able to be spell guys when, you know, a guy needs a play or a particular injury might happen. And the other part of this too, Thomas, is that I think that the type of defensive line play that we saw has to light a fire under Vic Beasley's behind. I mean, it has to. And the one thing that was said to me during the offseason that's reigned true, it came from when Therese Paylor came on this station when I was hosting here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and he said that the contract year is undefeated. And I think that's the one thing you have to keep in mind for Vic Beasley is that even if it might not provide any long-term benefit to the Atlanta Falcons, the kind of year that Vic Beasley needs to have in order to have any kind of sustained success for the rest of his NFL career has to come this year. And because of that, I think if you get the best Vic Beasley year that he's had since the Super Bowl year, I think that means Atlanta's going to be a pretty salty defense.
404-741-0929, the number to get in on the conversation. How do you feel? Biggest concern going into week one is what? Call in right now. We'll take your guys' phone calls. Again, 404-741-0929. That is also our number for our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So if you can't call, you text in because you're driving. That makes a lot of sense, as a lot of people are probably still working here on a Monday, as we have a text in right now that says, I'm a no on the White Claw. USPS probably wouldn't want me delivering packages today. Hashtag labor on Labor Day from Marcus in Bethlehem. And I appreciate the listen and the text there. Marcus, hope you're enjoying the show as you're driving and delivering those Monday packages. Again, we're talking about what's your biggest takeaway from the preseason, your biggest positive for the Falcons going into week one, and your biggest concern going into week one as well. Obviously, we've mentioned it briefly, but the biggest concern is going to be the offensive line. And maybe it's not because of what Atlanta has, it's because of what Minnesota has. Because correct. Everson Griffin is one of the best pass rushers in the entire league. I think last year, 15 and a half, maybe 16 sacks. The Minnesota defense as a whole, stout. Then, 2 weeks from now, you have Philadelphia coming into town that might have the best defensive line in all of football because they are stacked there as well. So not only are we taking a weakness of ours, we're putting it up against a strength of yours, and that's a concern going into week one.
The other part of this too, Thomas, that I really want to highlight from the Falcons' perspective is the way that this team was put together. It was put together to rid itself of a lot of the 2018 stereotypes. The fact that the back end had its issues, the fact that the front line had its issues on offense, and the fact that the running back had its issues on as well. My question to you is, how do they fix other problems as they come up? It feels like so much of the draft capital, so much of the free agency market, and so much of the other things was meant to fix the issues. But what happens if other issues come to light? It's almost like you're plugging so many holes in a sinking boat. What happens if more holes kind of come to fruition? What if the wide receiving corps takes a downturn outside of Julio? What if the run game still isn't fixed? And also situations like what if we don't see the type of defensive line play that they're projected to have with this remade defensive line?
How about this? Something we never have talked about here. I don't think anyone has mentioned it on this station. What's the secondary going to look like? Because written off, right? You just mentioned it, but the secondary is something we talk linebackers being healthy, we talk defensive line, we talk offensive line. The secondary in general, we really don't know because the majority of those guys did not play a lot in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Basically none. So we got to see what happens whenever you have Kirk Cousins, who many people write off as a bad quarterback, yet threw 30 touchdowns last year, and he has a healthy Adam Thielen as well. So not only are you trying to stop Dalvin Cook in the run game, you're trying to stop Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph, the tight end. The secondary is a question mark that you just hit on that I want to kind of jump on here as well. We don't know what we're going
to
see.
Who is your biggest – who you think needs to really step themselves up? Because my answer might be different than yours.
Step themselves up in total
in the secondary.
In the secondary right now, probably Trufant, I think. Because I think if we just take Trufant, we go, all right, top corner back there on the left or right side. He's fine, right?
I think
he needs to have a big year here.
I think it's Ricardo Allen.
Okay.
I think it's Ricardo Allen because I think that, you know, when you think about the experience, you know, Trufant probably has more. I mean, he does have, like, by one year more experience. But I think Ricardo Allen, so much of what he does in the middle is setting everybody up, making sure people are kind of in the right position. A lot of that also happens on Deion Jones's shoulders as well. But I do think that both of those guys, Trufant and Allen, need to kind of step up as the veterans in that secondary and at least show that there is at least some semblance of not dropping off. And even a guy like KZ, too, because of the fact that he is somebody who will play on a lot of plays because of the fact that you're going to see a lot of these spread teams, the fact that he is a nickel corner, and because of that, we'll see a lot of time. I'm very curious to see what kind of season he has because they believe that he is going to be a stopgap for a lot of the leakage that happened during the 2018 season.
It's so funny whenever you start really talking about the Falcons way back this offseason, all the question marks were defensive line and all the question marks were potentially being healthy and then paying Julio. That was basically what we talked about in terms of the defense was mainly the defensive line. Now, suddenly, you know, if you fast forward 2 or 3 months, defensive line, is it the best group besides the wide receivers on this team right now? Is it the best position group right now on the Atlanta Falcons?
I like what we saw to Tyler Davidson during the preseason.
I did, too.
I think that's part of the reason you're encouraged. I think you needed somebody to at least hold their own on the opposite side of Grady, and somebody also who could maybe make guys like Tack and Alan Bailey and Vic Beasley at least become free. And because of that, there's a lot to like from that particular unit. The offensive line, you wonder. And reason we wonder is because we still don't know who's going to start at left guard or right tackle. And the reason we don't know that is because of Caleb McGarry, the way he played in preseason game number 4, technically number 5 for the Atlanta Falcons. In our buy or sell segment next on the National Football League, are you buying or selling Caleb McGarry in week number 1? We'll continue with that next on our good Labor Day for you. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Willie P. and Thomas Mott, it's the morning show. Willie P. and Thomas Mott in for John and Hugh. Hope you're enjoying your Labor Day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929 is the phone number, as well as the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Texter from the 404 texts in and says, why have we not paid Julio? This is starting to concern me. We will talk about that 1 hour from now.
Yeah, sit tight, because I have been very, on my show, Ready or Mott, critical of Atlanta and Julio on this whole deal and the fact that no one wants to talk about that we're 6 days away from this happening or from week one and no deal yet is a little bit concerning.
Eric in Decatur is concerned about creating turnovers. We were talking about the Falcons a little bit about our encouraging signs and potential mishaps and potential areas for concern. And also another texter worried about Matt Ryan taking more than 30 sacks this season, although others concerned or should be encouraged by the fact that their secondary has played more aggressive in the preseason and also both Allen and Keanu Neal back at safety. We will, though, get back into the Falcons a little bit here with a little segment we like to call NFL Buy or Sell.
Oh, I like that.
Nicely chosen by our good friend Bo on the other side of the glass. First question, Thomas Mott, buy or sell? Falcons right tackle Caleb McGarry will start Sunday against Minnesota.
I'm selling this. I'm selling this 100%. People I have talked to who cover the Falcons for a living have said many times, listen, he looked good in a very limited role in the final preseason game at right tackle. Yes, that is true. But remember, he's going against third stringers, fourth stringers, and practice squad guys, and he didn't play a full 4 quarters. health-wise, conditioning-wise, he's not ready for four quarters, and he's not ready for Everson Griffin coming after him every single snap as well. It'll be Matt Gono starting at right tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm selling that they are going to let Caleb McGarry start week one.
I sell it, but I also think he has to get some time. I think he'll at least be on the active roster. Though you wonder, with the way that these rosters are now set up, Thomas, you want to have guys who can come in and pinch in a particular situation like that. You can't carry like another five offensive linemen. You can only carry really two or three on the backup side. Do they want to take that chance putting him on the active roster, especially if they have to go to him?
He'll start at some point this season, but not week one. I'm not ready to get him out there again. Like we've just talked about, it's just too much, too fast, especially after the surgery. Let's get him in some practice reps here, give him a couple of weeks, and then hopefully he can be a right tackle of the future. All right, NFL buy or sell. Will, buy or sell, Devontae Freeman will be a 1,000-yard rusher this season for Atlanta.
I'm selling it only because I think of the way that the carries are going to be distributed between him and Ito Smith, I think. I think that the two of them will probably combine for about 1,500. I think he might fall a tad short of 1,000, but I do believe he's at least in shape for a bounce-back season. I don't know if that necessarily means 1,000 yards, but I do think that he's been for a bounce-back season.
Devontae Freeman has not been a 1,000-yard rusher since he did back-to-back in 2015 and 2016. I'm going to buy it, and I'll buy it because he needs to be a 1,000-yard rusher for the Falcons to have a lot of success this year. The offense is built for a 1,000-yard rusher. I think Devontae Freeman is that good. Stay healthy, and then let's hope that Ito Smith is a good enough running back to provide some balance there as well. I hope he's a 1,000-yard rusher. I will buy it.
Buy or sell number three, Kirk Cousins will throw three touchdowns Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm going to buy it. Now, that's not to say that he's going to beat the Atlanta Falcons, but I could see a very real possibility for Kirk Cousins having a good game against what, like we talked about earlier, is a secondary that has not created a lot of turnovers and it still has some question marks in terms of we didn't see a lot in the preseason. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. That doesn't mean he wins against good teams, but he still threw 30 touchdowns last season. I think he has the best roster he's had in years. And Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are two of the best 1-2 punch receivers in the National Football League. I will buy it. Kirk Cousins throws three.
I think the situation that you brought up with the secondary being back is the reason that I'm selling this. I think that it'll be more done on the ground, even though the fact that they had the third worst run game with the injuries, of course, with Dalvin Cook being injured or limited throughout the majority of the season. I think that they'll get their points more on the ground as opposed to through the air. But I do think that secondary has the ability to possibly create turnovers and be a part of the game a lot more. And again, just from the standpoint of Kirk Cousins, took a significant step back a year ago in my mind.
NFL buy or sell here. Brian Flores, the head coach in Miami. Would you buy or sell that he's insisting the Dolphins are not tanking despite the fact they traded away this weekend star left tackle Laremy Tunsil, wide receiver Kenny Stills, and Kiko Alonso for draft picks?
Selling because there's not a real quarterback on that roster. I think that you can at least sell for the future. I don't think Josh Rosen is somebody you sell to your fan base. Ryan Fitzpatrick certainly isn't somebody that you sell to your fan base. And the fact that I do believe that they're just trying to stockpile the future picks, stockpile the future draft capital. Because of that, I think that the Dolphins are basically tanking for Tua. I don't necessarily agree with it because I don't know if Tua is the kind of guy who could thrive where there's not weapons around him. I'm selling. I think the Dolphins are in for 2020.
I'm selling it as well, but let me just say this. Why is Josh Rosen not starting? What are you going to get from Ryan Fitzpatrick besides maybe one four-touchdown game? He does it every single year. Start Josh Rosen, because let's say Josh Rosen is the star that they thought he would be whenever he was drafted in Arizona in the first round a couple years back. Figure it out. If he's the guy, then you have all these draft picks to actually build a roster around him next year, and the Dolphins could have a massive turnaround. Start Josh Rosen.
You saw him play in Arizona.
Well, but again, it was a bad team and a bad head coach.
And what is this?
Well, it's still a bad team and a bad head coach. But let's just see what he has, though.
What is this?
Let's just see what he has, please.
What is this? This is a bad team and a bad coach.
NFL buy or sell, Melvin Gordon plays at least one game for the Chargers this year.
Selling.
Okay, good.
Because I think that the two teams have reached the kind of impasse where he is at least trying to find a trade partner. It's very, very hard at this stage of the NFL offseason to find that. For some reason, he thinks he has leverage. I don't think he has leverage. And I know that people have said, you know, oh, well, you know, these are things that that can develop. And once the games actually start and you start missing games, you start missing game checks, things start to turn around. I just think that he is so far away from where they are when it comes to the contract numbers. And the disrespect factor has to play itself in my mind. I'm selling. I don't think Melvin Gordon plays a game for the Chargers. I honestly think that he might. I mean, the Jaguars look very attractive because the fact that I don't think that if you're trading Melvin Gordon, you're not exactly going to trade him to a team that doesn't already have an established running back. You're going to ask Melvin to either be a number two or at least part of a place that already has an established running back. Jacksonville very, very thin in their running back room right now after having to put Alfred Blue on the IR. I wouldn't mind seeing him with Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville.
I'll sell it as well. I think the question, I should have phrased it, when will Matt or a buy or sell Melvin Gordon will be traded by week three? Because he's going to be traded. It's just a question of when. Quickly, though, he did follow Melvin Gordon on Instagram. Yesterday, he followed the 49ers, the Raiders, the Eagles, and the Atlanta Falcons on Instagram just yesterday. Maybe slide into those DMs. Hey, trade for me.
Weird. Buy or sell. Patrick Mahomes is the clear favorite for MVP this year.
I'm selling that. I think he should be a favorite, but he's not the clear favorite. There are other quarterbacks that are going to have monster years. Listen, I think Mahomes is going to take a step back, but the issue is that it's a step back because he's not going to throw 50 touchdowns this year. He's going to throw 42, 41. The offense, the fact that they get Tyreek Hill, regardless of what you think if he should play or not, is massive for that offense. Mecole Hardman also as well. And actually getting LeSean McCoy is huge for that run game. But I think there are some other good players, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. There are other quarterbacks who are going to have monster years. And I think they could potentially be more of an MVP favorite than Patrick Mahomes.
Are you getting money from Aaron Rodgers?
I am not, but
seriously?
I'm a massive Rodgers fan this year. Everyone's disrespecting him.
I feel like it's
everybody.
I feel like there's like some sort of royalty that you get for just bringing up Aaron Rodgers in a segment.
Aaron Rodgers threw 25 touchdowns and 2 interceptions last year on one leg, and it was his worst season as a quarterback.
I think Aaron Rodgers' outlook in 2019 is about as good as his mustache is, which is
fantastic.
Not.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm buying, by the way, Patrick Mahomes as your MVP favorite in the National Football League. I would have not said so if Tyreek Hill was not playing.
That's a big factor.
Tyreek Hill, the fact that he's playing is a big part of that. I think Patrick Mahomes is the future.
NFL buy or sell. How about this one? Matt Ryan will be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL this year. Buy or sell?
I buy it because I think that's the way that the Atlanta Falcons need to have success this year, is they need him to return to form, stay upright, and also utilize his weapons. I really like the Falcons' wide receiving core right now. I like Justin Hardy. I love Mohamed Sanu. I mean, how could you not like Julio Jones, obviously? I think he now kind of has, if this offensive line is stabilized and the running back room is stabilized, he has all the makings and all the ingredients to possibly be somebody who is a top 5 quarterback in the league.
I think I will quickly sell it here. I think that there are 5 quarterbacks in the league that will have a better overall year. I think you could put Matt Ryan at like 6, 7, or 8, but you got Brady, you got Mahomes, you got Wentz, you got Rodgers, you have Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson are all going to have monster years as well.
2 in the books on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The 5 best audio clips from the weekend in a segment we like to call Audio Overload. That kicks off hour number 3. Willie P, Thomas Mott here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.